With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to Lore Boys. My name is James, and today I want to share with you a brief history of video game speedrunning. We'll talk about what constitutes a speedrun and learn the origin of things like Speed Demos Archive. Stay tuned and enjoy. Hi there, welcome to the Lore Boys. My name is James Quickboy Miller, and I'm here joined with
Pedro Alejandro O'Donnell Juarez.
It's a great name.
I made that up right before we recorded, like 30 seconds ago, and I was just like, just run through it in your head so you don't fuck it up.
It's a lot of syllables.
It's Peter O'Donohue from the Lore Boys. And also on this couch we have...
There's Ice. Ethan's not here.
Ethan's not here. For the first time, Big Daddy Ethan is not present for the show because he's down on vacation, but also, as he puts it, a business trip for the Lore Boys down at what convention?
It's called GeeklyCon. Columbus, Ohio.
Yeah.
Featured one of Ethan's favorite podcasts. They did a live show there called Drunks and Dragons. If you like our stuff where we drink and talk about lore, you might like their stuff where they drink and play Dungeons and Dragons.
They're far more popular, so if they perhaps your taste in them led you here.
Maybe that. Definitely.
I took a wrong turn in Columbus once on my way back from Tennessee. I think I've told you guys about that. We turned off the highway in Columbus at one point and ended up with like very stereotypical looking stoop men just sitting on a dilapidated building across the street from a White Castle burger that looked like it had been dropped out of the sky from a third world country. It's just like, oh God. It was like that like salmon colored stucco see in like a Florida suburb.
Oh, I hate
Florida
that.
Being a third world country.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. So today,
this is what I wanted to get into super quick here.
Okay,
sorry.
Go for it.
Give us a quick plug. You can always subscribe to the Lore Boys on YouTube if you'd like to. Leave us a comment. We'll probably leave you a heart. Subscribe if that's your preferred way of listening. I know a lot of my friends who actually listen to the show listen on YouTube opposed to iTunes or the 50,000 fucking Android podcast apps. Today, half an hour ago, somebody left us a comment on our Kirby video saying, yo, when is there going to be more Kirby, though? My buddy, who I guarantee is not Dark Knight Magic 666 or whoever the fuck that kid was on YouTube, just sent me a fucking Instagram message that is a indoor pool that says Dark Souls lore, and then it says Kirby lore, and it's a guy going down in this like fucking trench.
Oh, wow. Yeah, Kirby lore, man, there's some twists and turns. Our last one was, I don't remember it being all that linear, but I love that someone got a kick out of it, so... That's awesome. Today, I'm sure there are Kirby speedruns, and that's kind of what I want to talk about today, is speedrunning.
I beat Kirby's Dream Land on the Game Boy in 20 minutes when I was young. I don't know if that's impressive or not, but it took me...
That sounds impressive.
It took me a long time. I remember that game, like, fucking kicked my ass.
Yeah.
A bunch. And then I remember one day sitting down, transcending to video game Shangri-La, and then I just beat it in one sitting in 20 minutes.
Yeah. Well, speaking of your speedrun history, do you have any other games that you've tried to get a good record on?
Yep. I brought this up. So Dark Souls 1 on 360, I can get from character creation to the Bell Gargoyles in 13 minutes.
That's good.
But I didn't fight them.
Okay.
I only watched a couple speedruns and practiced for maybe 3 hours.
Okay.
And I didn't use any glitches or anything. Just like sprint, master key, like that cool. That whole sort of thing. Like I had watched some stuff and just emulated it.
Nice.
I didn't actually do much. But yeah, I got to the Bell Gargoyles in 13 minutes. I've tried with Half-Life 2, but I don't know how to...
Bunny hop.
Circle strafe or bunny hop. Or yeah. I know if you jump backwards, you can do it.
Uh-huh.
I can bunny hop in Titanfall, which is also a source game.
We've talked about bunny hopping in other episodes. It is whenever you basically trick your sideways movement into becoming forward movement in a game.
Something like that. In Titanfall, you can do it forwards.
Yeah. It's also a thing in Quake, which we're going to be covering today. It's a very popular speedrunning move. It's you kind of just spin your mouse in little circles while jumping.
Yeah.
And if you get it right at the right spot at the right timing, then it like increases your acceleration.
Yeah, and then on Source Engine games, you can ramp off certain things as well.
Yeah.
It's like I'm good at rocket jumping in Team Fortress, but not at B-hopping.
Okay.
What else? I've watched a lot of this one particular guy called Distortion 2.
Distortion 2.
Yeah,
okay.
It's and his picture is like a fat shy guy from Mario.
Okay.
I've watched him do speedruns of Dark Souls, Dark Souls 2, Dark Souls 3, Bloodborne, Getting Over It with Bennett Foddy, some other shit. Like I've watched him speedrun Dark Souls 3 probably 5 or 6 times just to watch him shave off 2 minutes.
Oh yeah.
And then
sure.
Yeah.
Well, one of our friends of the show, Catlink, she's on twitch.tv/catlink, KATLINK. She has the second fastest world record time for Resident Evil 6 right now.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Wow.
She has been speedrunning that for a while, and she's probably 13 seconds off from the world record.
Holy
she's
shit.
Really close.
Yeah, but I know in speedrunning, 13 seconds might as well be 40 years.
Yeah, that's what I said, but her last record before this was also like 30 seconds shorter, so she's really pushing the boundaries. I don't know who would want to play that game that many times as someone who played it in VR.
Yeah.
It's terrifying, but good for her.
If sex has taught me anything, the last 13 seconds are definitely the most difficult ones to get rid of.
Okay.
to shave off.
Yeah. Well, speaking of your sex life, we're going to get into speedrun.
Oh, hell yeah. as fast as possible.
Yeah, that's it. No, well, a speedrun is a way to play a game as quick as possible, usually with a set of parameters. You might want to complete it with every single thing in the game, with as quickly as possible, with not getting anything. Maybe you want to play Mario and only get all the forts with no flutes. Or there's a bunch of different ways to speedrun games. They usually come about from single-player games that you can't play against your friends.
Yeah.
So you both play the game and just so you can do it faster.
That's the difference between any percent and 100%, right?
Yeah, any percent, 100%. We're going to get into all those later, but 100% is it's beating the game with every single thing you can get in the game, you get it.
Yeah.
Any percent is beating the game with, you don't even have to complete the story if you don't want it.
Oh, okay.
If you want to glitch by things, you can glitch by them, okay. Right? We'll get into that.
That's the difference between the 100 emoji and the any percent emoji. They're,
exactly. Yeah.
Always be on your hustle. Always be any percent emoji, fire emoji, any percent emoji. Make it happen. Maybe that'll be a new Twitch emote. We were looking for new Twitch emotes, like any percent with the little red line. How fucking stupid that would be.
I'd use it.
Yeah?
I'd use it, man.
You'd spam it.
Yeah. So like one of these ways to complete our any percent runs is sequence break it. And that's an important term in speedrunning. In most games, there's necessary steps and triggers that you need to go through to progress in the game. You might need to watch a certain cutscene before an item is attainable, or you might need a certain key before you can open a door to a necessary room or something like that. Anything that skips these essential sequences for normal gameplay is called a sequence break.
But if you can vibrate at the same frequency as time, you can just pass through the wall, apparently, in some cases.
In some games, yeah. Like, let's say in Doom, maybe you want to get... You need the red key for the red door.
Yeah.
But all of a sudden you find a way to get through that door without needing the red key.
Have you seen like the Doom 2016 speedrun where you just like crouch at a rock for and then like do some weird things with the pistol and then you just get launched into the air?
Yeah, we watched it together actually.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's what the insane. Fuck? And Doom is really important in the speedrunning community. And we'll get to
current Doom or OG Doom.
Old Doom is one of the reasons why speedrunning is a thing today.
Yeah.
So the sequence break was actually coined in 2003. Oh, when Peter showed up, I was reading old forums from 2003, figuring out where this stuff came from.
Some of you were born, I'm sure.
Yeah. Ugh. Yeah, and it's a speedrun forum discussions, and it was for the Nintendo GameCube game called Metroid Prime. We have an episode on it, if you'd like to go listen.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. The trick was originally called Gravity Suit plus Ice Beam before Thardis. And
Thardis a location or a planet?
Thardis is a boss.
Oh, okay.
So you would have needed to beat Thardis, and then you would get those usually. But there's a way. I actually read it beforehand. So basically you have to go to another boss. I forget which one exactly. It doesn't really matter.
There is an ice golem in that game, right? I remember watching my buddy, and he could never beat it.
It might be Thardis. I'm not 100% sure. But an important thing is that you go up, and you fight a boss, and you use your, you can have this scan ability. Basically, you look through with your C-pad, and you can scan something. You scan something to exactly halfway, shoot 3 precise missiles at a stalactite, It falls down on you, knocks you through the floor. You press a random, like, seemingly random amount of buttons. It makes you go backwards. You fall for 5 minutes. And if you do it all perfectly right, you will fall into the Thardis room, triggering the Thardis fight that will successfully give you gravity suit and ice beam before defeating Thardis.
What?
Yes. So someone figured this out in 2003. Someone who's put a lot of time into the game. And it was the first really well-known thing that was called a sequence break.
Thinking about that, it makes me think of like a Renaissance man. It's just like, how did they figure out basic batteries? Like, you know, it's like they use lemon juice and copper wire in Baghdad in the 10th century. For me, it's the exact same thing. It's just like, how do you make a Baghdad battery when all you have is, the most high-tech thing you have is dirt?
Yeah.
And then it's just like, how did this happen?
No, yeah. There's someone with a GameCube and a lot of time.
Or inhuman luck.
Yeah.
Let's be real.
People also map out, because that's a, like we've talked about in Metroid Prime, it's a very up and down game. Like, yeah. The maps kind of like go really deep.
A lot of Metroid, a lot of Vania.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. So they figured out that this place was approximately so far behind them. They figured out that doing, I forget the word for it, but half scanning and doing something can break walls, and they just figured it all out.
It's called no clipping.
Yeah, that might, yeah.
I think it's kind of odd that the game would load the cell for that other boss at the same time as a previous boss, because it has to be there, right? And if it loads off a CD, it has to load in.
So I think that it's based on a trigger on where you are. So the trick specifically says you have to land in a specific part of the room, or the boss will not come out, and you will have to start over.
Okay.
So you have to land in the specific part of the room that whenever your player character is there,
well, wherever the trigger is,
yeah. So however that game is programmed, I can't speak to it, but they figured out that you can do it.
I know in Half-Life 2, Episode 2, or possibly all the Half-Life games, because there are no cutscenes, there are invisible triggers throughout the map, which as far as I know is like a transparent wall that when you pass through with the character model, it just knows where you are.
Okay, yeah.
Also, fun fact about Half-Life, if you shift into third person, Gordon Freeman's entire model rotates at the waist.
Interesting. Yeah. Oh, that's awesome.
So basically, if you aim down, he flips up off the ground like a rotated Photoshop picture. He spins around. He basically looks like a foosball character.
Yeah,
that's awesome. That's kind of how he moves.
I love that.
I've never confirmed this. I was told by a buddy of mine who's like fucks around with games a lot. He works at IDOS Montreal.
Okay,
and he told me that Gordon Freeman flies around like a foosball character on a sphere, basically.
Another way to break games is using glitches.
Yep.
Not all glitches are accepted in speedrunning communities, but I'll get into one that is accepted first. Sequence breaking can be done with the result of a glitch, like I was saying.
Yep.
So, for example, there's a category of speedrun for Mario 64. That's a huge, huge speedrunning game. There's like a million categories. People, I'm sure, have sunk little millions of hours into perfecting that game.
Yeah.
And so it's called the 16-star run. So a precise pattern of movement can be used to get through this gate that you would only get through after 70 stars, basically by holding Mips the rabbit, who's an NPC that runs around in the basement of Super Mario 64.
Okay.
And you kind of like push him into a wall and like jimmy the right way, and you're able to just clip through the wall. And someone figured this out, so you can only need 16 stars in order to get into the basement, then you can get to the final boss.
Huh.
And there's also, since then, they've broke it so bad you can do it with 0 stars.
Really?
Yeah.
Fuck.
There's ways to kind of like convince your movement, like on stairs, that you're falling forward but clipping the stairs, and it goes like,
yeah, that's what we were talking about earlier. And then you're just like going through black space.
Yeah. And he's crouching and he's like facing backwards up the stairs, and you can clip right through a wall right to where you need to go.
Yep.
That game is so broken. If you want to look up some fun speedruns, like, there's a million. And the people that can actually navigate really well with Mario in that game are so impressive.
Yeah, it's like watching a robot do something.
No, it's crazy.
It's got some ASMR triggers in there as well.
Yep.
Visual ASMR.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Which I don't understand at all. I'm still fairly certain it's for perverts, but whatever, man. If it helps you sleep, it helps you sleep.
I think it's porn light. So it's supposed to be, like, sexual feeling without actual sexual.
Yeah.
I don't know.
A diet porn?
I was listening to a Harmontown episode about ASMR like this week. So
it's like, yeah, what are the little thin cigarettes, like menthol cigarettes?
Oh yeah,
it's the menthol cigarettes of smoking. ASMR is to sex as menthol cigarettes are to cigarettes.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Kids can smoke them. What? No, that's
yeah,
not.
Yeah.
No, I was just thinking in Quebec where we live, they ban menthol cigarettes because they're like, no, it's too appealing to kids, so they should ban ASMR so kids stop having sex later.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, this is a pretty heavy Catholic, French Catholic population here, so yeah, they'd probably love that. I was going to say another game that came out recently that has the same publisher as Doom that obviously I'm in love with because I'm playing it again instead of playing new games is Prey. There's a lot of crazy sequence breaks in that game because you can use the glue cannon to not only freeze enemies with goop, but you can also it also hardens on walls, so you can climb up walls.
Nice.
And at the beginning of that game, as soon as you get the glue cannon, you can basically force yourself through the wall and then just fly to the end. The Prey speed run, as far as I know, was like 16 minutes.
That's crazy.
It took me 17 hours the first
time. Yeah, no, it's broken. Like, Ocarina of Time at the beginning was, like, it took me probably, like, over 20 hours easily.
But you were also a babby, Jamie, with the gross little baby hands that couldn't hold a three-handed controller properly.
Yeah,
right?
People can do it in less than 7 minutes now.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, it's insane.
But actually, one rule that most speedrunners adhere to is you don't mess with the game's files, the disc itself, or the console. And emulators is a whole popular... there's a whole debate on emulators that I could get into, but it's going to be the next 20 minutes, so
yeah,
that might be something else I'll bring up another time. But emulators were kicked out for a long time, but then they brought them back in later, basically because it was more accessible to more people and speedrunning became more accessible. That's the very, very basic way to say that.
Yeah.
But there's more to it than that. It's easier to fuck around with emulators than it is with an actual
console. Yeah, because it's on a computer. It's not on... Yeah, no kidding.
But now there's some that are... basically the exact same thing, so certain emulators are allowed in the game if they're checked and things like
that. Yeah.
But one rule that all, like, they don't mess with stuff, you don't one thing there's like called there's a crooked cartridge trick in The Legend of Zelda that I showed you before.
Yeah, which is odd.
So, like, you can get past that guy who's blocking you in front of the Deku Tree, or not in front of the Deku Tree, but across from the Deku Tree for that allows you to leave Kokiri Village at the beginning, Ocarina of Time. Basically, you have to get a sword and shield before you're allowed to continue in the game. You can get by him by very slowly taking out the left side of the cartridge, then, like, walking by him, and it does all this glitchy shit where the guy, like, is in front of you, then he's behind you, then he's in front of you, and you can't quite get by. But then you get past him, and then you have to slowly insert the cartridge all the way back in. It can corrupt your game, lose all your save files, it can do a lot of bad stuff, but it can help you save.
Do it for the vine, though.
Yeah. Help you save 2 minutes, and however 60 times that frames is.
Yeah. Fuck, holy.
Yeah. Yeah. Saving frames is a big term in speedrunning, because you can, especially in older games where there's only like 24 frames per second, if you can save a couple frames on one sequence, you might get the earlier cycle on the next one. So saving frames is something you hear a lot in speedrunning.
Cool.
Yeah. Another thing you hear a lot in speedrunning is TAS, or tool-assisted speedruns.
Okay, so I've heard about these.
Yep.
I still actually, for some reason, I've been hearing about this ever since I started watching speedruns, like, 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And for some reason, at no point in my life have I ever Googled tool-assisted speedrun.
We actually, one of those random things I remember, Ethan and I had, and not an argument, but a disagreement about what a tool-assisted speedrun was on the podcast.
Really?
I was right.
At some point that's going to be on your page on the fucking fandom.wikia.theloreboys page is going to be the whatever the fucking TAS kerfuffle.
Yeah, I can especially say that because he's not here to defend himself,
dick.
So perfect.
Go down the United States by yourself.
A dual assisted speedrun is popularized by the original Doom from 1993, I believe it was
four,
something like that.
I think Wolfenstein 3D was 3, and then Doom was 4. Don't quote me on that. I'm not even gonna put that into the annals of Loreboys canon. I don't know.
It's basically a tool assisted speedrun is not a person who plays the game, but it's a computer who puts in a bunch of button presses at precise timings to basically do something that a human couldn't do.
So jump on a precise pixel.
Jump on a precise pixel, a precise frame, and consistently do that for an hour long speedrun. And there will be no mistakes the entire time because it's hard-coded in.
Where's the fucking fun in that?
Because the way that it came up was through Doom. And I want to start a little earlier on the history before we get to the Doom part.
Right.
I'll explain why tool-assisted speedruns are pretty cool.
Okay, fine. Yeah.
Yeah. They're sometimes frowned upon, like kind of how you were just like...
Like the iron workers, yeah. They all frown upon the robots now building cars.
Yeah, exactly. But whenever you watch one that is really amazing, one, it's really fun to watch. Two, it shows what, like, the utmost human, like, what is an uber human if it could be the best fucking thing it could ever be?
Oh, the Ubermensch speedrun.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, it's Nietzsche. Nietzsche was a big speedrunner.
Yeah.
He died of syphilis faster than anyone else.
I was going to make a much more intellectual joke about him, but I realized we've already referenced some of his work in earlier episodes. I don't want to feel like it's the only thing that I've read, so that was great. maybe that'll be the artwork. I was going to say Zarathustra.
He had sex once, so that's pretty quick.
Okay, so I got a story about a person that I heard about who lost their virginity. Same thing. Didn't get syphilis, but got herpes.
Oh,
yeah. I know Nietzsche's dead forever.
Yeah.
But this guy's still alive and has herpes for
him. Yeah, well, he knows his type now.
Other chicks with herpes, yeah.
Yep. Fuck. That sucks.
Yeah, I know. he's got this reputation as being cursed, as his bad luck will transfer onto like bandmates or close friends if
as
you get
well
to know
herpes.
Him too well.
Yeah.
Yeah, as well as herpes.
Yeah.
The fuck was I going to say? Oh yeah, the artwork might just be Nietzsche speedrunning Mario 64. keep an eye out for that one on Wednesday.
I like that.
So it's a good meme, Jamie.
Yeah. A few different completion types when it comes to speedrunning. Any percent, as
emoji.
We mentioned.
Yep.
You can just like break the game as much as you like, get to the end as quick as you can without altering the software in any way.
Go from the title to 400. The credits is basically an any percent. It doesn't matter how you get there, right?
Exactly.
Without modding it.
100%, get absolutely everything. If you're playing Metroid, you're going to get every upgrade in the whole game before you get to the end.
Dark Souls any percent, as far as I know, is kill all the bosses.
100%?
Yeah, because in Dark Souls 3, you cannot get all the rings without doing New Game Plus, which is, from what I've seen, impossible to do in 45 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's not all the achievements, but there are all achievement runs, though, aren't there?
There are, yeah. There are. There's a bunch. You can basically, if you make... a goal, that's one of the types of running specific goals. You can make a goal. You can say, oh, I want to beat the whole Half-Life 2 with the gnome in my hand, right? Like you did.
Oh, I did do that.
Yeah,
yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Low percentage is probably the one that I see the least.
The fuck is that?
That means you want to complete as little of the game as possible.
Oh, you ghost quests?
Yeah, like maybe for, let's say, Mario, you want to get to the end of every level without getting the fewest coins and... like doing the fewest levels or something like that. I don't know.
That's interesting because generally speaking, like rings and coins are placed on the critical path so that you get them.
Exactly.
So you have to actively avoid them. I think that's interesting.
It's fun. There's definitely some good ones out there. I don't know any really low percentage things that I've followed, but I'd love to look them up.
There's Dark Souls 2 has Strava does the emotional damage run.
Okay.
In which he tries to, it's no hit run. And so he beats the entire game eventually without getting hit a single time. Dark Souls 2 is very slow.
That.
It's not that. It doesn't look that hard, but
yeah. Okay.
I mean, I'd never be able to do it.
Yeah.
Literally ever.
No, yeah.
For him, that's, you get hit once by accident, delete your character, start over.
Yeah.
The no hit run.
I've watched a no hit run of Diablo 3, sorry, of Dark Souls 3, and it was absolutely insane.
Yeah.
Crazy. And the mental fortitude you have to turn off the game after playing for an hour and a half and be like, I'll start over again. No
I don't
problem.
Have it.
Yeah,
I can play through about 10 to 15 hours of XCOM or XCOM 2 on Iron Man until my decisions really start to snowball into failure. And that's when I realize I have to restart and I just don't have the cajones for fucking Iron Man or no hit runs.
Yeah.
Any of that hardcore shit that deletes your save when you die. Fuck that. No.
No.
Are you kidding me?
Exactly.
Are you out of your fucking mind? No.
No, it's crazy. So that's basically a few of the main things I wanted to introduce of the ideas of speedrunning, what speedrunning is, sequence breaking, glitches, any percent, 100%, tool-assisted speedruns. These are all like frames. These are all important things for speedrunning. I wanted to get into the history of speedrunning now.
Okay.
So it can be debated where you would normally start in speedrunning. Some would say that speedrunning started whenever men could start talking to each other because we're like, I just want to be faster than the other guy or something.
Yeah, I suppose so.
Yeah, it's been around.
Is speedrunning a caveman thing?
It is. Yeah.
It is. Recorded in those caves in France.
Yeah.
It's just like all those paintings. Like who could paint the fastest?
No, that's it. From the cave to the fireplace with woman in your hand. How fast can you do it?
Yeah, exactly.
Like that.
How quickly can you haul a clubbed cave woman?
Yeah, so where did it begin? I like to think that it began in 1980 for the Atari 2600, a game called Drag Racer.
Sure.
So
it's RuPaul's Drag Racer.
Yeah, RuPaul's Drag Racer. Yeah.
It was a prequel to his television show.
Yeah, my dog just burped on me.
Your dog did just burp it.
Gross.
Yeah. I wonder if that picked up. That'll be cute.
I hope it did.
She's like yawning now?
Yeah.
Signora.
She's having a good time. She's just being burpy and sleepy.
Yeah. I mean, it is late.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sort of.
So, Drag Racer, it was released in 1980 for the Atari 2600. And it was the first video game developed by Activision ever. So that's kind of cool.
How the mighty have fallen.
Yeah, exactly. Well, like, back then, they probably hadn't even heard of World War II to make that Call of Duty
game. nobody had made a movie based on War... Nobody had filmed the movie World War II yet.
No.
So they couldn't make the tie-in video game.
Exactly.
You're right.
Yeah. Yeah. It was programmed by a guy named David Crane.
I haven't heard of World War II yet.
Yeah. Oh,
Jamie, you slay me.
David Crane later wrote Pitfall. Have you heard of it?
Oh, I've played Pitfall.
Yep.
Yeah, I was bad at it, but yeah. I've actually played Pitfall.
Yeah, so the guy who programmed this game wrote that game later.
Okay.
Yeah.
As in the code?
It was unclear to me, I assume.
Yeah, because I've played that game. You play as just a dude who swings on vines to get through the jungle.
Yeah.
And you can jump off alligators and shit.
Yeah. So if you're looking at the game Drag Racing, you would be looking at a drag race. You'd be looking basically at the side of a car. In 2D completely, and you're at you would move from left to right across the screen. All you have to do is you see a light on top, you wait till it says go,
yeah.
Then you're pressing, you're basically shifting gears and accelerating at the right times to get from the beginning position to the end position as quickly as possible.
Okay. For anybody who doesn't know what an Atari 2600 game looks like, you would be considered lucky. Yeah. Probably to have more than three colors visibly on screen at any given time.
Yeah, I think it had like a green background and then like just like the car was like lines and dots kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like it wasn't much, but it was just this one drag racing car from a side view. Looks like a kid could draw it, and it like kind of does wheelies when you're going too fast. So I think the goal is to keep all the wheels on the ground so you can like shift and just like get as much traction as possible and get to the end.
All right.
I didn't quite understand it, but the interesting thing about that
looks so shitty even Peter could draw it.
It was actually straight up stolen from Key Games Drag Race from 1977. It was an arcade game and they just like ripped it off completely and made it an Atari game.
Activision.
Yeah.
Rotten to the core.
First
day
game
one
ever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
sons of bitches.
In the manual there was a challenge though, and this kind of sparked speedrunning for the first time, I'd say. There's a little quote. So I had great fun doing Dragster. I hope you'll enjoy it. Write and let me know how you do. And if you break 6 seconds...
And let me know. God, it's so wholesome.
Yep. And if you break 6 seconds, take a photo of the screen and send it to us. So far, the world record is 5.61 seconds. If you break that, it will make news. So a bunch of people broke this, wrote to Activision, and they got sent plaques with their name on it.
Holy fuck.
Like, you broke 6 seconds. Way to go. Which I think is really cool.
I liked it when... like kind of back in the day when game companies were just like without exaggeration four guys in an attic,
yeah,
and like a computer that was probably that had a tube screen,
yeah,
that probably weighed 160 pounds,
yeah,
and they just made this thing,
yeah,
and mailed it to people for free, and then if you wanted to send them money,
yeah.
It's the original like free-to-play model, right? The original Fortnite. They would send you Fortnite on 38 floppy disks,
yeah,
and you'd have to switch them out depending on every time the circle closed got tighter, you had to switch the disk.
Yeah. I think the 2600, they definitely paid for the games, but
as far as PC gaming was the floppy disk.
Yeah, exactly.
That's true, sorry.
But the 40 the four people in a room making it, totally true.
Yeah.
And one of those four guys was the one who held the world record because they programmed the thing. So,
I suppose you'd have to whatever qualified as QA back then.
Yeah, and you wouldn't see that today. Like the programmer never is the best at the game anymore. They're good at it, sure. But
no, it's because they have to spend 5 years coding, and then it's still broken when it comes out.
Yeah, exactly.
Not to shit on that wasn't a shitting on coders thing.
No.
If you're out there listening,
we appreciate it.
It's much more of a publisher forcing people to release crap.
Yep. So Bungie,
like Activision.
So some guy tried really hard to get a good time on this, and he claimed to get a time of 5.51 seconds.
Okay, so a tenth of a second faster.
Yeah, 4/10 of a second faster than the 6-second. 6-second was when they would write in, or I guess the...
Well, because the record was 5.61, wasn't
it? Yeah. Yep, and someone claimed to get 5.51, you're right.
I'm listening, I can see you through the pop filter.
Yeah, you're right. So someone claimed to do this, but as long as there's been speedruns, there's also been frauds.
Oh.
Todd Rogers enters the scene.
Great name.
Yeah. He claims to have gotten the 5.51, and he always had this same guy from Twin Galaxies be the one who judges his score that he was friends with.
Okay.
And Twin Galaxies back then was like the arcade go-to for... If you ever seen King of Kong, go watch that if you haven't. It's about the Donkey Kong world record.
Yeah.
There's this like...
Who's also a fraud, isn't he?
Yeah. Good guy Steve Wiebe just really like tries every day, and he has a kid, and he's trying to be the best at Donkey Kong, and he keeps beating the record. But then this bad guy, Billy Mitchell, just keeps coming out of nowhere and like doctors his boards to get good scores and stuff. And that movie is like a roller coaster.
I love all those words you just strung together in a sentence.
Yeah, no. Go watch The King of Kong if you like video games. I have watched it twice and I've been on the edge of my seat both times.
Or if you like an underdog story, apparently.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you like single fathers, King of Kong is right for you.
The bad guy is... A guy who has a fake mullet from the 80s.
Nice.
And then the good guy's just a family man, and the competition is Donkey Kong. So
yeah.
How can you go wrong? It's great. It speaks to me.
As a single father yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
Disclaimer, Jamie is not a single father, to our knowledge.
So Twin Galaxies, that was also a weird shit went on with Twin Galaxies and Billy Mitchell one. Same thing happened to Todd Rogers.
Okay.
Todd Rogers claimed to have hit second gear before 0 seconds had passed in the game. So, yeah.
I know what an Atari 2600 controller looks like. For those of you who don't, just in case you're, you know, not a huge nerd or not in your 30s.
Yeah.
It's a box with a red button on it. I think it's for your left thumb.
Yeah, I'm not
And then
sure.
There's a joystick with a red button on top of that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
Yeah, there's not much to it.
Yeah.
But somehow with these controls, you got to just like shift up and down, I guess, and press the buttons in a way to accelerate and brake. I'm not sure if braking is even a thing. But he claimed that...
Probably not in Drag Race.
Yeah. No. Before he claimed that before the light said go, he could start in second gear.
Okay.
And back then, it's like maybe there's a way to do it, right? They put Easter eggs in games. So a tool-assisted speedrunner or a guy who makes tool-assisted speedruns, he's like, you know what? I'm going to parse through this code. And I'm going to make an Excel spreadsheet, and we're going to get to the bottom of this. We're going to see what is the fastest possible thing you hit at every point, and I'm going to chart this out.
Get you a VLOOKUP. I like some Excel.
Exactly. Some index match, and he's good to go, man.
Literally the only formulas I know.
Yeah.
Excel is sorcery.
Yeah.
I use it every day. I still don't fucking understand it.
Yeah, I use both that and Google Sheets. Google Sheets is a little more intuitive, but not much.
Yeah, but you can't play, like, a guy I work with sent me an RPG that was built in Excel.
Yeah.
That's actually kind of fun.
No, it's true. But speaking of really fun games, this Drag Race game, this guy thought he could get to second gear. So the task creator who broke down the code found out that, no, you cannot get to second gear before starting the race. And a time below 5.57 was impossible by all standards of the code.
Okay.
So he had claimed a 5.51, and the guy over his shoulder said, yep, that's cool. That's what happened. So
they were hustlers.
Yep. Todd Rogers was a phony, had his record revoked. And since then, many runners have hit the perfect 5.57, and all have been recognized within Speed Demos Archive.
Yeah, because there's always a limit for every game, right?
Yep.
Yeah, there's always something you cannot bypass.
Yep. Todd Rogers, I didn't go into his full story. That is not the only time that he... finagled the system to get a record.
You know, if you switch the letters, his name would be Rod Todgers.
Oh.
Which are two euphemisms for penis.
Is a Todgers a penis?
Yeah.
Oh,
it's a British term, Todger. I think. I hear from Zero Punctuation a few times. I think I've heard him
okay.
say. Yeah, yeah, exactly. He's like, he says Todger. Yeah, so Rod okay. Todgers would be just penis.
Yeah, well, this double dick, he got his record revoked.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Living up to his namesake.
Yeah,
if exactly. you switch to letters.
So,
that's a very lowbrow joke, and I apologize to anybody who thought more highly of me out there.
That's okay. That was 1980s. That was a 1980s joke, and we're going to move on.
Yeah, exactly.
1993. One of our favorite games on the cast, Doom.
My sister was born.
Yep. Your sister was born. I knew that.
In Cujuac.
Yep. And which is much like the depths of hell.
Yeah, oh yeah. Freezing fucking cold.
So Doom is a classic. We've talked about it before.
Yeah.
We love the game. Go check out our Doom episode if you haven't already. It's a lot of fun.
At this point, still the favorite artwork, my favorite artwork that I've done, so yep. Maybe you'd appreciate that as well.
No, it's definitely up there for me too.
Didn't mean to slur so bad. I had some General Tao chicken before drinking all this beer.
Yep. So the reason that Doom was already very popular, we talked about it. It was shareware, so it was pretty much free. The first three levels, you could just pass amongst your friends. You could all play. It could run on almost any computer, which made it super accessible. So already there's like a million people playing this game.
Yeah.
But it's single player. So how do you
for cowards?
How do you compete against your friends?
So, I guess you would have to race, eh?
You might have to race.
Hey!
Yeah, so all of a sudden, there's a million people playing a game, which is, like, unprecedented. And now, to be competitive, you have to race your friends. So you see how speedrunning might start to become an attractive thing.
Well, you've got, like, you've got three boys
yep.
who are all nine
yep.
wearing their baggy white shirts uh-huh. and their green baggy shorts
mm-hmm.
with blonde bowl cuts huddled around a beige computer
yes.
trying to beat the first level of Doom as fast as I can.
Yep.
Is exactly what a marketing person would say.
No, definitely. Yeah. And then afterwards you download the internet and you're good to go.
Yeah, you get your AOL disk.
Yeah, exactly. So
I got Roller Coaster Tycoon out of a cereal box. I still remember that.
Me too.
I would always, if I wasn't playing with my sister, like my sister and I would try to beat it when we played together. If I wasn't, I would always make a death camp.
Oh, yes. Is there any other way to play that game?
No.
Get your population up as high as you can.
And then you wall off the exit and destroy all the rides.
Yeah.
And then you take the last happy person and you build a pillar in the center with food, water, and a washroom.
Yeah.
And you elevate the last happy person to godhood.
Yep.
Yeah, that's what I would do.
And then you watch that, and then you build roller coasters that have, like, big old cliffs so the god can watch all his people perish.
Yeah, the loop-de-loop one that's supposed to, like, go up and then slow down and then go backwards.
Yeah, yeah.
Destroy the tracks and then ramp up the speed, and you can launch people into the food court.
So that was really fun. And another reason that...
speedrunning Roller Coaster Tycoon death camps. It's a thing.
So I mentioned that speedrunning was really popular because it's single player, it's owned by a ton of people, and how can you compete with your friends? The second reason why speedrunning was very popular in this game, and a very important reason, is that the ability to record demo files that were easily shareable. So the demo files is you could play through the game and send your playthrough to a friend, but it wouldn't be a video. And the trick to this is Doom would record your button presses and timing and send it to as a small file to your friend, and it would just, like, virtually press those buttons for you so they could watch you play through the game. So you could share very small files, which were just a log of your button presses.
It's just a key log, basically.
It's a key log, yeah.
Oh.
And you send the key log, and all of a sudden they can watch you play with, like, very little strain on their computer. Which is a really, really genuinely
fucking
cool idea.
Fascinating.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Especially when all you had was dial-up.
Yeah.
And even sending a text document with one letter on it would take 5 minutes.
No, that's it. So if there was a 2 minute level, you would send, like, up, up, down, down, jump, shoot, jump, jump, shoot, shoot. And then, like, they would know what to do on their side. And I don't know how the timing part of it worked out, but they figured it out.
That's fucking cool.
Yeah. I found that really, really cool. And
yeah, I was too young to really take advantage of any kind of internet thing when internet kind of showed up.
Yeah,
I guess.
Yeah,
because, like, the internet wasn't really good until I was already in high school, like dial up wasn't really. I wasn't willing to use it because I had Lego and toys.
No, right? Yeah. So I was playing Diablo 2 poorly whenever the internet was, like, dial up in my small town.
Yeah,
and I didn't really take advantage of all that stuff either.
Yeah, no,
it was out there, man. Like, people were sharing their speed runs and comparing their times across the world through sending their button presses to each other it wouldn't take, like, 4 hours to download it.
Was it just a text file?
I'm not exactly sure how it worked, but it's basically a text file because people could go in and alter them, which they did at some point.
Oh, okay.
Another thing that's...
And load the genesis of the tool-assisted speedrun.
That's where tool-assisted speedruns became popular.
So do you load the control text file into the game somehow, and then it just does it?
So someone alters the demo file. I'm not sure the logistics of it, but they would figure out that, okay, at this perfect second you want to do this, at this perfect second you want to do that, and rather than just do it perfectly with their hands, they figured out that they could program a demo file just to do it perfectly. Another way that people figured out how to make near perfect speed runs was some college kids figured out how to slow Doom down by like down to 10% of its actual speed.
Yeah, Doom is very well. If you played Doom 2016,
yeah,
which is fast as fuck,
yeah,
that's fast by our current standards.
Yeah,
OG Doom faster. Is way faster.
Yeah.
I've been playing Unreal Gold, which has a slider that goes from 50 to 150% speed. I play at 110 because it's just a little. I like playing it like a fast FPS speed.
Yeah, yeah,
and it's crazy.
Yeah.
Like, it's not, you're not human at that point.
No.
You have, like, rocket boots on.
No, that's it. So, if you're going through a level that, when optimized, will take 22 seconds.
Yeah.
To run through and get those 10 perfect headshots in those 22 seconds is, like, nearly impossible at full speed. So, what you do is you slow it down to 10%. You go through that, and it's easy because you're taking now 22 seconds. You're taking 2 minutes 20.
Yeah.
Or whatever that math comes out to. I'm sure Ethan will comment and like and subscribe, Ethan, and tell me my math is wrong. And then basically you just speed it back up whenever you load the demo file, so you look like a god.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
So okay. So you down have to time powers, basically.
Yeah, you slow it down to 10%. The key logs still log at the same way.
And right.
Whenever you send the demo file, then it looks like you're just working like
a machine.
Yeah, it looks like your brain works 10 times faster than the average person.
Okay, cool.
And people didn't know what was going on at first, but then figured out because there's irregular movements whenever they saw it at full speed.
Okay, yeah.
They figured out that the people were slowing it down.
Okay.
In order to, so this is something that you had to look out for and wouldn't be accepted as a real speedrun.
Okay.
Doom, on another note.
So you could generally accuse people of being robots?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Doom, on another note, had this whole like achievement system where you would get, you go on a website, and as soon as you get under a certain time for a certain level, then you get that badge on your website and you get like points to your profile. And then you'd go on the forums and talk about how to do things faster. Speedruns in this time were generally level per level. You wouldn't do the game from start to finish.
Okay. That well, they do have specific cutoffs. Now I know we have... I wish I could remember what they're called. I want to say they're called breaks.
Okay.
But the speedrun timer that currently exists, at least for Twitch streamers like Distortion2, who I watched, are linked directly to the game's save timer.
I'll tell you what that's called.
Okay.
That's real-time attack versus game time.
Okay, yeah.
So real-time attack is playing with loading time with everything.
Yeah.
And game time is just the game time.
Yeah.
And this weeds out the difference between someone who has a $2,000 computer versus a $200 computer.
Right.
If they want to just be a speedrunner.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, I actually forgot to mention that. I'm glad you brought it up.
Oh,
yeah.
Anytime, Jamie, you know. Fan self.
So, speaking of really fast things, Quake
Sonic
and,
all.
Yeah. Sonic is it does have speedrunning. I was watching this wild, wild speedrunning thing about Sonic yesterday where you could, like, if you were moving fast enough, there was kill screens that your character would hit. So if you went off of the rails and hit, like, this wall, basically there's, like, a plane that as soon as you ran into it, you would die. But if you were going fast enough, then you would actually skip over it because the space between frames would be so big that you could skip over this kill plane.
Okay.
Go watch Summoning Salt Sonic Adventures 2. Summoning Salt does a really great job at explaining all of these speedrun things.
All right.
Don't completely get it. But what I want to talk about is Quake and Speed Demos Archive.
Yeah.
Speed Demos Archive is one of the biggest places where you document speedruns today. It used to be in a bunch of small places. Doom had their own place. Mario had their own place. Metro had their own place. Eventually, it all congregated together to Speed Demos Archive, which is the hub for speedrunning today.
Cool. I've seen Quake done quick.
Yep. And that comes into it, actually. The story of how Speed Demos Archive was created has to do with Quake Done Quick.
Okay.
So in 1997, in April, Nolan Radix Pflug.
What?
P-F-L-U-G. Pflug? Pflug?
Flug? Flug? Yeah, I guess.
Nolan Radix is his gamertag.
I've heard Radix before.
Yeah, so we'll call him Radix. And he first started the Nightmare Speed Demos website to keep track of the fastest demos in Quake.
Okay.
Which looks a lot like Doom. but a little bit newer, a little bit more 3D, a little bit.
So it's not actually it's not a flat game. So Doom is a 3D environment with flat textures and no character models. It's all sprites.
Yeah.
Whereas Quake, as far as I know, does have 3D models for their weapons and enemies.
It looks like it anyways, as someone who just watched the speedrun before starting.
Yeah.
It looks a lot different than Doom, but similar to Doom, but like a lot more 3D.
Much better.
Yeah. So in, like I said, in 1997, he started the website Nightmare Speed Demos to keep track of the fastest demos. And in June of the same year, the first Quake Done Quick project was finalized. So Quake Done Quick was one. It featured the entire game carrying over one level's finishing stats to the next.
Okay.
So it was a whole game speedrun, not just an individual level, although it was segmented. So segmented run means you can take... do one level as fast as you can, then you can cut the level and paste it in with your next fastest level. You just take your fastest levels for each one,
okay,
and you paste them all together like a collage of highlights of your fastest time.
Well, it's like editing video. You take the good shots.
Exactly.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Segment... So if you do the first level really well and then fuck up immediately, you just discard that and retry the second one.
Exactly. Okay. There's some people who have done this in Ocarina of Time and in Speed Devil's Archive. They had the world record, but they... waited till loading screens to segment their run, but lied about it and said it was a single run and got banned from the whole website and everything. There's a bunch of speedrun drama about people passing segmented runs as full runs. So,
dicks.
Yeah, basically, whenever you look at the video, it looks fine, but whenever you look at the sound bites, if you go into like a microscopic level, the cuts are shown as like these weird sound signatures.
Okay.
And then they could figure out that it was segmented. And they didn't find out till like years after it was posted. And the guy lost the world record for Zelda and somebody else got it.
Shouldn't have lied.
Yep. No, he
sorry,
shouldn't.
Dude.
Yep. You lost your record. And some of his other records that weren't even proved as being fake were removed from the website as well.
To tell for goodwill. Just like, you're probably a liar, idiot.
Exactly.
Get out of here.
Exactly. So that was a segmented run, but it was popularized as a segmented run. They didn't claim it was something else. They're like, these are the fastest we can do every single level of Quake Done Quick. I've watched it. Peter said he's watched it.
Yeah.
It's impressive.
It's insane.
There's so many skips where you like threw a rocket, a grenade at your feet, bounce up into a place you shouldn't be, and it's incredible.
Blast jumping is a big thing. I mentioned it earlier, actually, like rocket jumping in Team Fortress.
Yeah.
Team Fortress was originally a Quake mod, and then TFC was on Gold Source, and now Team Fortress 2 is obviously on Source.
Yeah.
Rocket jumping is still a thing. Okay. In the Quake Done Quick that I watched, I remember this guy knows the physics of the grenades and can place them exactly where he needs them and time them perfectly.
Yeah.
So he's just banking shots off walls and running in what is essentially a straight line and getting redirected by grenades.
No, and it's crazy. And you'll see him like stutter for a second and stop. It's because he knows the mental timing of the grenade that right here, if I shoot it here, I need to take like a 0.3 second stop.
It's because they have a fuse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it's insane.
Yeah.
I watched it before you got here, Peter. And
it's mind-melting.
It's crazy.
I do want to comment quickly.
Yeah,
despite the heat wave and the humidity,
yeah,
and we turned off your AC to record, still very nice in here.
Oh, thank you.
I got to say.
Thank you. I'm glad you're comfortable.
That's for the viewers at home. I'm barely wearing clothes.
Yeah, that's how I keep you. So in 1997, another guy, Mwad Dib, he made a Quake page. And it came to be, and it was run by Guanar Mwad Dib Andre Moe. Long name. All you need to know about him is he made a site that specialized in easy runs. So him and Radix, Moe and Radix, came together, and they combined their website, and they made it Speed Demos Archive. And that is the main source for speedrunning today. They're both Quake speedrunning websites that came together that eventually became the speedrunning website we know today.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Which is a lore fact of speedrunning. Yeah. So now, moving on from Quake, it's important to note that there's a lot of Metroid games that were very important in the speedrunning community.
Okay.
Yeah. Super Metroid was like a speedrunner's dream.
I've watched Super Metroid ones before. Oddly enough, I've never finished it, but I've watched speedrun.
It has...
Metroid speedruns, excuse me. Yeah.
It is so great for a speedrunner because, one, it's non-linear. There's four bosses that you can choose the order in which you want to beat them. So there's different ways to do it, different power-ups to get in different orders.
Is Kraid, like, objectively the first one all the time?
Whenever I did the Metroid episode, like, what must be a year ago now, I said...
Close to it, yeah.
Yeah, there's, like, four of them, and they use acronyms for it, like CDRM or whatever they are. The Ridley's one of them. It's just basically there's different orders to do it, and they're optimal for different reasons.
Okay.
But that's one of the attractive parts of it is speedrunning, is that you can do it different ways. You can route it differently. Two, it has a bunch of high mobility moves. You can go into a little ball. You can bounce yourself with bombs.
There's a screw attack. Yeah.
You can do that run that's really fast. Three, it's like it had an in-game timer. So if you did beat the game, you didn't need to set up some like little stopwatch. You could just play the game from start to finish and you'd know how well you did.
Yeah.
So it was made for speedrunning. Like whether or not they meant it to be, it was perfect for speedrunning.
When if you beat the first Metroid on the NES quick enough, is that where Samus takes her top off?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
You were rewarded for it too, which is another reason that it's like so
goddamn cool. The '80s.
Yeah. Again, I hate to plug them twice, but actually no, I love to. Summoning Salt watches Super Metroid speedrun history. He has a history of where the speedrun started and shows all of the cuts on how it got faster and faster, all the characters that were in there that like overstepped the other one and figured out how to get faster and faster, and is a really interesting story. That is one of my favorite speedrunning stories on the internet. Summoning Salt, Super Metroid.
Is he a real person or do we know him?
He's a real person. Okay, and I just love his videos. Like I found him on the internet. He's not even that well received, and like honestly, his videos are so well put together.
Let's hit him up on Twitter.
Yeah, no, for real.
Summoning Salt, I'm coming for you.
Yeah, no, man. He releases like one episode a month, and they're always like super well researched and very, very, very well put together.
Cool.
Yeah. So
unlike our shit, except this one apparently.
Yeah.
Isn't the real world so much easier to research than the fake world?
I love speedrunning, man. Though, like, I it was so easy for me to nerd out on this. Like,
yeah.
I found also a documentary, The History of Speedrunning, and I didn't even get into all the Japanese side of speedrunning, but they're like people who min-maxed like Dragon Quest from like start to finish. Like if you get this Quest item, you can skip this whole place. And like Dragon Quest, they have charts on every single thing. These are all people in university just didn't want to study. And it's the University of Tokyo, I believe. And they made charts and tables and put them online for every single item, for every single moveset, and how it corresponds to every single enemy. And all that data's out there.
Go read it
if you're interested. It's very impressive that how much time was put into it, though.
Yeah.
So in 2003, a Metroid speedrunner, Nolan Flug, if you remember who that was, Radix?
Yeah.
So Radix...
I wanted to say that, but I, for some reason, just drew a blank. I was like, no, you put me on the spot.
No, I did.
Performance anxiety.
No,
That's
a tough one. That's a tough one.
Yeah, you're damn right in this.
Yeah, Radix. So the guy who made the first speedrunning website and who owns Speed Demos Archive along with Mo, he released his 100% Metroid Prime run. Would you finish the entire game in, guess, 100%?
It's going to be something absurd. Is it like 45 minutes?
Hour 37. That's very good for 100%. There's a bunch of like little things that you have to discover all the way. You have to like scan them.
Yeah.
They're not visible until you scan them. And
fuck that, dude.
Collectibles.
Jesus.
Hour 37, he beat the 100% of the game.
Well, if a game's not dynamic,
yeah,
you actually can just memorize where everything is,
yeah,
and just get there.
No, yeah, it's crazy though. Like even then, like to execute that well for an hour 37 minutes is wild.
Yeah.
So what did he do? He turned his Quake speedrun website and he just posted his Super Metroid thing on it. He's like, "That's my website.
Traitor.
I can post whatever I like." And that opened the door for all speedruns to be posted on this website.
Okay, well, yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
I thought that were going to be like the Quake purists who came back and then he was murdered.
I'm sure the Quake purists weren't super happy about it. They're like, oh, he just owns the website, so he thinks he can post his Metroid runs here.
Whatever, fuck him.
Yeah. But he posted it. There was a time where that speedrun was getting like over 1,000 downloads a day, which for speedrunning, that's huge. That was a
from what I understand, old internet, that's also huge.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah, yeah. This was like 2003, so...
Yeah, pre-YouTube.
Yeah, pre-YouTube. So that is like a lot of where Speed Demos Archive.
Yeah.
That's where that was created. It was started with Quake, then Metroid opened the door. There's a lot of like movement in there when emulators are okay and emulators aren't okay. But that's basically the foundations for Speed Demos Archive, which I knew nothing about, and I look at Speed Demos Archive all the time.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah. it's pretty cool. So two games that I didn't touch a bunch on, but I would have loved to dive deeper into, and maybe I will at a later date if this one's well-received, is Mario Kart and Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time.
Mario Kart? Really?
Mario Kart had a huge speedrunning community. Like, each one of those levels have been broken to the point, like, where it's crazy. Choco Mountain, Summoning Salt as well, has a Choco Mountain video.
Summoning Salt podcast over here.
No, dude, like, I love this guy. When it comes to speedrunning, he's so informative. And he makes me, who knows nothing about speedrunning, like, understand until I finish watching the video what was going on.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. So, and Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time. Cosmo is a really big runner in that. He's a personality at AGDQ, SGDQ, which is Awesome Games Done Quick, or Summer Games Done Quick.
It's a charity event.
It's a charity event that started in, like, 2000. That's my next point, actually, that we got there. It's, like, 2011, 2012, I think it started. Maybe before that. I started to tune in around 2012, 2013.
I'm a sack of shit. I've never watched it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's okay, because it's gotten popular now, and a lot of money started flowing to it, and it became a lot more corrupt. It used to be this really cool gathering of where all these speedrunners would get together, and it's wholesome.
It's for fucking charity, for Christ's sake.
And they give money to that. Now there's all this shady stuff where they're banning people. Like, okay, there's this one guy who wore a Make America Great Again hat.
Okay.
But he didn't actually wear it. He was accused of wearing it, got banned from all AGDQs. He's a great runner. But then there's this other guy who's a Pokemon runner.
That's discrimination, though.
Yeah, but they don't.
Just because he's a conservative dickhead doesn't mean you can do that.
One of the regulations is no politics or strong religious opinions on, in the show.
Oh, okay.
And so that's one of their things.
Well, that's fair.
But they also choose it like however they like. There's this one guy. This is not
Oh, you mean the rules are completely meaningless, and it's a do as I say, not as I do sort of situation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Classic fucking.
Yeah.
Whatever.
I watched
current, classic fucking current climate.
Yeah.
That's why we avoid politics at all times on our Twitter and on all our pages, because I don't care what you think as long as you like the lore boys.
In 2013, 2012, that's when I started watching
it. Fucking business.
It was really cool. It was like a white room, like no paint on the walls, just like a couch that they look like they got out of a church basement, and a bunch of kids staying up till like 5 in the morning playing games and breaking them like insanely amount. Like that you wouldn't normally see. I remember watching a couple of them live and being like, this is so cool. Where are these kids? They're hiding in their mother's basement.
But yeah.
Like, then now you watch it today and it's in like, it looks like a hotel lobby and there's like a theater type thing.
There's an audience behind them.
Yeah. The audience behind it, like the red carpet. And so they kick out like these people who are allegedly had a Bernie Sanders shirt, but they didn't actually, and they caught him on video not actually having one.
Wait, they kicked him out too?
Yeah.
Okay, wait.
Let me tell you who they left in. A guy who said the N-word.
Oh.
They left him in.
Okay.
A Pokemon runner. He's like, I bet I'd get $1,000 if I said the N-word, but he just says it. Don't kick him out. He's in the next tier. Guy who didn't actually wear a Bernie Sanders shirt, but was allegedly wearing a Bernie Sanders shirt, but the creators of the event didn't like him, kicked him out.
And then the guy who... So they kicked out a Bernie guy and they kicked out a Trump guy?
Yeah. But those guys are...
Fuck?
They're both hated within the community. They were shit disturbers within the community. So they were looking for an excuse to get them out of their event. And they did that. But then another guy who just straight up says the N-word...
Fucking assholes, man.
Allowed to stay in. Yeah.
Pieces of shit.
And then there's a whole bunch of weird stuff about where the money's actually going, where the hosts that are the faces of the event, they are like also getting paid for this. They're not doing it out of their goodwill. And like, it became like this really weird corporate thing that was run by nerds, and I'm not sure they're doing it right, but I like Fast Games. Yeah.
That disappoints me. Because I just said before you told me about all that shit, like, oh, AGDQ is like really cool. It's a charity. It's really good. On the fact they're just like the same fucking corruptible children that every dickhead YouTube is. Oh, Jesus.
It's too bad, but there's still a lot of individual Twitch streamers who are doing this stuff.
Distortion 2, man.
Yeah, you can go check them out.
No space, and it's the number 2.
Definitely. Our friend Catlink, who I'm going to have on the show one of these days, is doing Resident Evil 6.
You guys have been working on that for a while, eh?
Yeah,
workshopping the whole meeting in person thing.
Oh, yeah, it's tough. We're internet people.
I know, and also, yeah, I mean, our lives are also remarkably busy.
Yeah, I would love to look up, like, one of the easier speedruns and see if I could, like, get in the neighborhood of what a good time is. If I can get, like, a minute in what one of the easiest, like, a minute close to one of the easiest speedruns, I think that'd be fun. And I'm sure there's some out there where you just got to go and like press AB against the wall and you get to the end game like really quickly, you know? Yeah. But anyways, that's my introduction to speedrunning. I would love to get like deeper into it. If you guys want to hear more about like specific stuff, I would love to do like a one-off half-hour episode of like, this is what happened with Zelda Ocarina of Time between 1993 and or whenever it came out to 2000. And like, there's so much there. I loved it. It was so super fun to release.
And also, which we had mentioned earlier, because Lore Boys is, at its most basic level, a history show about things that never happened. If you enjoyed our little detour here into the real world, please let us know on Twitter or on Facebook and just be like, yo, you know what? As long as it's geek bullshit, I am any percent down.
I like that.
For some more random-ass geek bullshit, because I've wanted to talk about game companies and never have, because there are some developers that have remarkably interesting stories. Mm-hmm. And all that shit. So
I think that's more relatable in any sense, right? Because it's like stuff that you can reach out and touch.
Yeah.
Like if you
like
can
your
get
thighs.
If you can get into like the creation of Elder Scrolls, then why can't you get into the creation of the people who made Elder Scrolls?
That's true. We should meet their parents.
Yeah, exactly.
Mr. and Mrs. Howard.
Yeah.
Of Todd Howard fame.
Yeah, exactly. Todd Alucard. What is it?
What?
No, Todd Akatosh Howard or something.
Yeah, well, no, yeah.
There's a bunch of those.
Anu.
Anu, yeah. Anu.
And Auriel.
Auriel, yeah.
And the Numidium. so definitely let us know. Give us some feedback. So recently, I guess I'll bring this up now for anybody who listened to the end. We got some really good numbers.
Yep.
And it's growing a little bit faster than I can handle emotionally.
Keep it coming.
Sometimes. Keep it coming, obviously. Yep. We love it. But what we don't have a lot of, sadly, is feedback. And we know you're out there, we know you're listening, and we thank you very much for that. But there is no way in hell this is a perfect show. Yep. So if you're listening this far in, let us know what was good, what was bad. Get back to us here, because we only seek to improve and then eventually quit our office jobs and just be internet radio men for the rest of our lives and then die.
Send a carrier pigeon to Peter's mother. We'll read it.
I mean, yeah, she'll be just like, Pete, why is there a pigeon on my windowsill? I'm just like, no, next time I see you, just drive it over.
Yeah. Keep the letter, though.
Yeah, exactly.
If I wanted to find you on the internet, Peter, where could I find you?
If you want to leave feedback on the internet, I'm at Pete O'Donohue on Twitter. If you can spell it, you can follow me. I do all the artwork for the show. So that's our Facebook page, which is The Lore Boys, I think. And then the Twitter, which is at The Lore Boys Podcast.
TheLoreBoys.com is our domain.
The Lore Boys Podcast is our domain. WordPress host. I do all the artwork there as well. I can't figure out how to change the main image to our new one, and I'm sorry.
We'll figure it out.
I hope so. Fuck, I keep hitting my computer with a rock and nothing's doing anything. Fuck. And other than that, I make... It's been like 3 months since I've streamed anything, but...
Yeah, well,
I'll give it to Jambo here.
Yeah, so, well, first I'll give, since Ethan's not here, you can find him at Ethan the Dead Man on most things.
Pretty much all social media, it's Ethan the Dead Man.
Yeah, exactly. And then if you want to catch us on Twitch, it's twitch.tv/TheLoreBoys. I've been on a little bit of Fortnite, a little bit of God of War. I got Doom 2016, so I'm probably going to rock that a bit.
Oh, hell yeah, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you want to catch me on Facebook, it is James B. Miller. You can send me a direct message. Diamond, if you're out there, we talk to you. But if you want to invest in the show, Lore Boys Premium.
Lore Boys Premium, exactly.
Yeah, so...
We've always got a pitch.
Exactly.
We've always got a new product. Remember, not only are we bringing you a podcast and some art... Every week. And a Twitch stream every week. We're busy bitches.
Yep.
Right? We also have a new product coming at you right out of left field every time.
Yep.
And so, I think Jamie got this one ready this
week. Definitely, yeah. Well, Ethan went to Columbus, Ohio.
Yep.
And he actually brought back the pinky toe of at least 150 Columbus, Ohioans.
Ohioans?
Ohioans? Ohioans?
Ohioars?
Ohioans.
I don't know how. Yeah, exactly.
Well, so if you'd like a pinky toe... From that convention, they're geekly pinkies. They're worth a lot. They're great. Use them as Dungeons and Dragons dice rolls if you'd like.
Or even if you want to like glue them onto a Warhammer 40K character like model base, you can play them.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, pinky headed orcs. Those are really strong.
How much do they cost?
These pinkies would normally be worth at least 75 cents, but we'll give them to you absolutely for free if you give us $50 a month.
Yeah.
And
included with your $50 subscription is a severed trophy toe of a different podcast host.
Hang them from your ears. Hang them from your belt loops.
I don't give a shit. It's a free country, presumably. Unless we ship it to somewhere that's not a free country, then I don't know.
Have your enemies fear you.
Yeah.
And I think that constitutes.
Everybody else, too.
Yeah. So we're going to get out of here, Peter?
Constitutes? I heard you say that.
Yeah, I miss Ethan. Ethan, come back.
Baby, come back.
You can put it on
me. Okay. And that constitutes.
Lord boys out.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.